What is up? Welcome to NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. I am one of your hosts, Tim Mason. Here with me this week is Ricky D.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation?
Rick, it's been a while since I actually got to speak with you. Last week, you were out.
A little bit of inside baseball. Is that the right expression? Inside baseball?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes. I was actually on the show the entire time. I just chose to actually not participate in the discussion because we were short on time and there was already three hosts, so.
And I had too much to say. Let's be honest. That's why this week we're talking Pokemon Sword and Shield again.
By the way, since I wasn't here last week, before you introduced the two hosts, I got to say, you guys did not do a good enough job, I'm going to criticize you now, of hyping Detective Pikachu. Detective Pikachu looks like one of the greatest family films ever made. I know it's not out yet, and I know maybe I'm getting my expectations a little too high.
I think so.
Holy cow, guys. Did you see that trailer? Dude, that trailer was amazing. The trailer was so well constructed, right? Like, I love trailers. Like, I love, like, just the art of editing a trailer. Like, editing a trailer to me is an art. But I love the way the theme song plays in the background, but it's so light that you can actually miss it. And I did not even notice the theme song the first time I watched a trailer. I noticed the second, third, fourth, even the 500. I've watched a trailer like 500 times. It looks amazing. And then they end with Mewtwo showing up out of nowhere. He's like the Thanos of, like, the Pokemon world. He just comes out of nowhere. He's in the sky. He's going to kill all the Pokemon. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a grim, bleak, dark ending. Everyone's going to die. And then we're going to have a sequel. And I don't know. It's going to be incredible.
I'm wondering if they're going to... I mean, Mewtwo does kill somebody in the first Pokemon movie. Does he get brought back to life through tears? Yes. But somebody does die. No, I'm totally hyped for that movie. I think it's maybe my most anticipated movie of the year.
It is my most anticipated movie of the year.
And that includes a Star Wars movie.
Forget Star Wars, dude.
Who cares about that series
anymore?
Dude,
but the thing is, it's like you guys did say one thing that I cannot stop thinking of last week. Like, the cinematography and the art direction and lighting is very reminiscent of a sci-fi film noir. So it's like they take like elements, like I think one of you's mentioned Blade Runner.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And then they do take the lighting and the shadows of those classic film noirs that we love from like the 40s and 50s. Plus, it is a detective story. So, like, the thing is that, like, this movie, if they actually have a really good script and a really good mystery and a really good whodunit, it could honestly be one of the best family movies in recent memory. And it looks fantastic. Like one of my major concerns whenever they want to make one of these cartoon to life, in this case I guess it's a video game, well, I mean, there was a cartoon, right? Based, I mean, there's the animation, right? But yeah, anyhow, it's always about the way it's gonna look, right? It's like, I'm always worried that it's the characters are just gonna look odd in CGI, but I think they look pretty good.
Yeah, the adaptations of the Pokemon I think are just phenomenal. That Mewtwo reveal, so satisfying. He's like just the right amount of cat and just the right amount of alien. It's perfect.
You know what reveal would be satisfying? Your other two hosts.
it has been long enough. Sick burn. Let's move on. That burnt like a Charizard's flamethrower. We're scooting right along. That, of course, is Patrick Murphy, Hollow Knight himself.
Yes. I'm going to be here to bring the hype down just a notch. I've said last week that I'm pretty optimistic, cautiously so, but optimistic about it. But I'm not sure that I'm willing to put this into a classic territory just based on that trailer. It's a well-cut trailer, and I've said there was professionalism behind it. But anyway, yeah, it looks good. It looks good. And
you got to go in, take off your critic hat. Don't walk in wearing the critic
hat.
Go in to enjoy the movie. Look, you're going to walk into this movie. Okay, here, I can see into the future.
I go into every movie wanting to enjoy it.
No, but I can see into the future. Patrick Murphy is going to walk into this movie, and he's going to want to enjoy it, but he's going to think in the back of his mind, he's going to be like, there's going to be a lot of things wrong with this movie, and I got to criticize it. And he's going to walk out of the movie.
I never do.
You're going to go home. And you're going to realize you love this movie. It's the greatest movie ever made. You're going to write this 3,000-word film review about why it's a masterpiece. It's the Casablanca of this generation.
There's my headline right there.
Right, and then it'll be the new Hollow Knight for Patrick. It'll be like, hey, what are you watching these days, Patrick? Oh, I just went to go see Detective Pikachu again.
Marty, jump in here.
Marty, I don't Allen. Exist yet.
The god Pokemon Arceus hasn't created him yet. Marty Allen is also here rejoining us once again. How's it going, Marty?
Oh, hello, video game internet friends. It's so nice to be here again. Yeah, I'm cautiously interested in the Pokemon movie. I'm a deeply ambivalent Pokemon fan. I apologize to everyone who hates me now for saying so. I enjoy the Pokemons. I like the little monsters. I put them in their balls occasionally. I play those games. I have been surprised by how cool those trailers look. And we'll see how it is in due time, no doubt.
I think you're okay here, Marty, because 3 out of the 4 people on this podcast are probably ambivalent Pokemon fans. Tim's really the only one who's super into it as the series goes. Like, Rick and I have not, what, we've played two, maybe? Two of the games? Well, three. Two. I played three.
But I haven't, I never finished Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, no, me either. Yeah, but
here's the thing, though. I'm really, really stoked for a new game. I'm telling you guys, I know I said I was going to buy the last game. I still have not yet bought it. I might buy it. But this new game, Sword and Shield, it looks dope. I love the look of it. I'm really excited. Plus, it's on the Switch. I think I'm going to do it. But I might actually buy Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee this weekend because I got a week off of work and I'm trying to figure out what I want to play. I'm here to bring on the excitement, to bring up the energy. Can I just rant for 2 seconds? So can you guys explain to me why countless, when I say countless, thousands, hundreds of thousands of gamers worldwide insist on pre-ordering games, buying games day one, not knowing if the game's going to be good or not. Like buying a game in which there isn't even any reviews out yet because the developer slash publisher won't even send outlets the game to review, even if you're like IGN, like the biggest video game website in the world. But they insist on pre-ordering these games, buying these games, having these crazy expectations. And then they are disappointed beyond belief. The game's broken. It's full of bugs. It bricks your console. It's boring, etc., etc. And so they waste all of their hard-earned money buying the game. Then they waste like 30, 40, 50, 60 hours of their life or more playing the game. And then they spend 2,000 hours online complaining about the game. I don't get it. Don't get it.
Pre-orders are an odd thing because there aren't too many games where you expect there to be a shortage, right? Where you walk in the store and nope, they don't have The Legend of Zelda. Like that, honestly, that doesn't happen to me. So I don't know why people pre-order either. I really don't.
Do
I mean,
you need to play the game day one. If you're so, I mean, well, I'm basing this mostly on Anthem and what's happened with Anthem and Fallout 76. But you know what? Like, guys, like you don't need to play the game. Like, if you're really, really worried, if you're concerned that you're going to waste your money or the game's broken, just wait, like, a few days or a week. Like, you know, maybe you'll get some feedback from, like, video game critics or anyone in the general public talking about the game. Anyways, it just, I don't understand. Like, the point is, I just decided I'm not buying any game right away unless I'm 100% sure it's going to be a great game and or reviews have been released.
Here's the thing. It's like movies, though. Like, you want to be there opening night, and you want to see it because your friends are talking about it. It's a cultural zeitgeist thing. Like, you want to be there for it. And I get that. Now, generally for big games, even, you know, the major gaming sites will have their reviews up, you know, a day or two early. So you're not going to be – you don't have to pre-order the thing. You'll be able to see a review, and then you'll be able to go out the next day and buy the game if you want to buy it and talk about it.
The difference between games and movies is that you don't go to a movie and the movie breaks down. I mean, it could happen. The projector breaks down or the power goes off. But, you know, like, that's an exception.
That can ruin it.
you can go to a movie and not enjoy the movie. Like, you have your opinion and you like the movie or dislike the movie, fine. But you don't go to a movie and a movie's going to break down. It's not going to, like, you know what I mean? But, like, you buy a game and these days with these enormous big games that are rushed out. Okay, guys, rushed out, not finished. Fallout 76, Anthem, you name it, so on and so forth. Like, at this point in time, the gaming community should wisen up and be like, we're just going to wait. By the way, Detective Pikachu, it's mandatory you go day one, okay? You go
well, the first day. I'll be reviewing it for the site, so I'm going to see it. Remember my headline, The Next Casablanca?
yeah, and then I'll follow up with my
Citizen Pikachu.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, there is a Pokemon Roselia, so that'd be a good name for a sled, I guess.
How many of our listeners do you think actually know what a film noir is? These are movies that existed primarily back in the late 30s and early to mid 40s.
Well, there's neo-noir. I mean, a movie like Brick is a neo-noir.
Yes. There's and there's Bound. Techno-noir, like Terminator and Blade Runner are techno-noir.
I think when you drop terms like neo-noir, you're ostracizing the audience even more, honestly, than just noir. I think, I mean, there was even L.A. Noir, the video game.
Well, do you remember when you were talking about Super Mario Odyssey and you started referring to Odyssey? And like
the Odyssey from Homer? Well, I mean, I hold out hope that Greek mythology has stuck around, but I'm not sure. The other day, I was at a coffee shop talking to a 21-year-old, and she had never heard of Gone with the Wind, and it didn't surprise me, because Gone with the Wind had its 80th anniversary this year, and it was playing in a theater nearby, and I was like, man, do I want to go see a four-hour movie with an intermission? I was like, I kind of really do want to see it on the big screen, but I didn't end up going, but I happened to say this, like, oh, Gone with the Wind was playing, man, such a great movie, and I just got blank stares. So I don't hold out a ton of hope that people know what some of the big film noirs are.
Speaking of great movies, one of the greatest movies of all time is going to get released in May. You have to go see it. So to bring up the hype level a little notch higher, I have some big news for you guys. So do you remember we had a discussion right before the Nintendo Switch got released? And by the way, we're going to talk about the Switch later on because it is now 2 years old. But we talked about the possibility of Nintendo releasing some sort of VR kit for the Switch. Do you guys remember this?
Yes. And I know where you're going with this. I got the email as well.
Right.
I'm on the same page as you too.
An hour ago, Nintendo has announced.
I don't know the news. I'm very excited.
Well, Marty, this might interest you especially because you bought Labo.
Yeah, I like the weird stuff.
Well, they're coming out with a new Labo kit, and it's a VR kit.
Shut the front door. That's super cool.
Can we just vote for Nintendo that they stop calling them just like ToyCon 4 and 5 and call them ToyCon Mark 5 just so it sounds that much more epic?
It says, experience a new dimension of Nintendo Labo with the launch of the Nintendo Labo VR kit on April 12th, which combines the innovative physical and digital gameplay of Nintendo Labo with basic VR technology to create a simple and shareable virtual reality experience for kids and families.
Oh, I'm pre-ordering it right now.
So we haven't even,
don't do it, Marty.
We haven't even gotten to the best part, which is that you can buy two different kits. One kit is the full package with multiple VR creations. Essentially, it's like a set of goggles, that you
like a camera type setup.
Insert into different cardboard creations, but it's the same set of goggles universally. But the one is just the goggles and the quote-unquote blaster. Mm-hmm. And I read blaster and I was like, thinking like, you know, the NZAP. I see the thing, it's a bazooka coming out of a kid's face.
Yes.
It is a spiritual successor to the NES Zapper. And so this kit number one has 6 ToyCon projects. It's pretty steep in price. It's $79.99.
That's what they've all been.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then there is a kit number 2, which I'm not entirely sure what the difference is.
There's one kit that has everything. That's the $80 one. And then there are various kits that there's like one kit that's a basic model. And then you can buy the other kit separately after that.
And the basic model is just the goggles and just the bazooka. So that's clearly where the main gameplay is going to be.
Right, but the $80 thing has like all the kits.
It's also, we do have to clarify this immediately. This is not just a standard VR headset. This is a Labo experience. So what you experience with the headset is restricted to the Labo hardware.
Yeah, I'm assuming, you build a headset out of cardboard. That's so cool.
I don't want the world to start yelling, it's Mario Kart VR, because it's not.
Yeah.
It's just the games that they've made for this particular Labo kit.
But hear me out, Nintendo. Detective Pikachu launches in May. If you
Oh my god, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy the kit and I'm going to take this blaster and the goggles and I'm going to wear a Pikachu costume with the goggles and a blaster and I'm going to go see the movie.
Shouldn't they like make a Labo pipe or something so that you can go to Pikachu with that? Do you look like and a hat for Sherlock Holmes hat or something?
So we should mention that there are two expansion sets, set number one and two, each priced at $20 USD. And here's the thing. So it says Toy-Con Elephant. What does that mean?
So if you look at like the full expansion, one of these VR setups, the cardboard creation, is like a giant elephant mask with a person wearing an elephant head
and there's like a big
trunk coming off of it.
Are you guys just making this up, like, to make
fun of me?
At a certain point, like, I'm starting to feel like I must be living in a virtual reality simulation of my own life because Nintendo is just making things for me.
Marty, let me just, like, assure you that this is a Nintendo product. One of the pictures is someone sticking their face inside the butt of a bird. And that's the most Nintendo thing I've ever seen.
The elephant thing is hilarious. I mean, because she's the little girl's holding the trunk with her hand, and it's got like the little ears that go out to the side too.
The game for that one's actually going to be a spiritual successor to Punch Out. It's going to be called Trunk Out, and it's just like an elephant boxing game.
Yeah, that one. It comes with a camera and an elephant, right? Yeah. So there's a bunch of weird ones here. I don't know what the wind pedal does. Whatever the wind pedal in expansion set 2 comes with a bird and a wind pedal. But
I am so excited by all of this information. It's ridiculous. I'm so into all of this.
I thought maybe that Labo was dead, and I'm really glad that Nintendo was just probably designing the next one. It's the most secretive thing. They just come out of nowhere.
I'm so excited. That's incredible.
But we do have to talk about the downside again. Can't stress this enough. It is limited to just the Labo software. So this is not the confirmation. I saw that camera and I was like, here we go. Pokemon Snap 2. It's not the case, guys. It's never happening.
Which I'm fine with. I like this. I if they're going to offer a VR experience, I like that it's completely separate.
What if you go see Detective Pikachu and they somehow include Pokemon Snap in the movie?
I would lose my mind. I would get kicked out of the theater for, I don't know, taking off all my clothes in excitement. I don't know.
You want that, Tim?
Oh, everybody wants that. So this also, we should probably, there's a date ascribed to this. It's in April, yeah?
Yeah. 12th. It's April 12th.
I love that, like, the one day I didn't compulsively read Nintendo news, I was able to come onto a podcast and get this gift of Nintendo news. It's, like, made for me. Amazing. Party.
This just broke, like, I mean, we just got the email, like, an hour ago as of the recording of this podcast. So you didn't miss it necessarily. We just happened to get it really quickly.
Love it. So excited.
Yeah. So that breaking news aside, I think we should probably take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going bananas for a new game, Ape Out. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N-Express. We're at our middle segment, a discussion of the brand new Ape Out, which, Marty, you have been taking care of for the site currently. So you're coming on. You have pretty solid experience with the game. You're most of the way through it, yeah?
No, yeah. I've played all of Ape Out. I've played the whole game. It's okay. It's completed.
There we go. So you are the only one here that has played this, but we're all curious about it. Why don't you give us a brief synopsis of what the game actually is, then we can see how you like it.
Oh, yeah. Man, a brief synopsis. Ape Out. It is it's awesome. It's like a monkey violence jazz simulation. you know, at its core, it's like it's a top-down beat 'em up. With no real story. You're a monkey, you're trying to escape, but I've seen some comparisons to Hotline Miami, which I've actually never played, but seems to be accurate. But yeah, you're a monkey, you're escaping, but there's tons of style in this game. It's deeply influenced by jazz albums and jazz music. It's really cool. I loved it.
And Saul Bass.
Saul Bass, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
If you don't know who Saul Bass is, he developed some of the most famous title sequences for some of the greatest movies of all time. He was especially known for making the opening credit sequences and the closing title sequences for Hitchcock's films.
Yeah, and posters too.
And if you don't know some of the posters as well.
Yeah, and if you don't know who Alfred Hitchcock is, Google Saul Bass.
You know what? Yes. If you don't know who he is, message me on Twitter, and I will. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't know who Hitchcock is, stop listening to podcasts and go watch some movies.
You're just making me sad.
But yeah, the whole visual style is really reminiscent of like 50s and 60s jazz albums and design. But yeah, particularly Saul Bass. It's just incredible. The jazz influence. I mean, did you have any questions? Like, I can just ramble about it.
I'm like super jealous. Like, I mean, the thing is I did buy the game. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I did get the review code. But I wanted to share the review codes, of which I do. So I was like, I'm gonna give it to Marty. I'm super stoked for this game. I think I'm pretty sure this is gonna end up on my list of best games of the year. Just from what I've seen so far, they released a YouTube video just about the making of the game, and they also released a video about the soundtrack and just the visual style. Like, I mean, you mentioned it's reminiscent of those covers from old jazz albums. I love jazz, and I especially love the covers of old records, like, you know, not just specifically jazz, but some of those records from like the 60s and 70s, really trippy stuff, right? And there was like an art to it. Like, now, like, I remember, like, I mean, nowadays I was gonna say you don't even buy CDs anymore, but at a point in time when you were buying CDs, it was like the most boring covers ever. It would always be just like a giant image, like a close-up of the artist, like his face or her face, and it was so incredibly boring. But this game just looks like it's oozing with style. But my question is, I know it looks good. I know it sounds good. How is the play? Is it fun? Is it easy to control?
Is there a hook to it? Like Mr. Shifty had its, you know, teleportation thing. Or is there any special, like, gameplay mechanic?
Well, I mean, the gameplay mechanic is that it's super satisfying. You know, it's really straightforward. You're a monkey. You're escaping from various enclosures like a science lab, a building, or a boat. It's really straightforward in a lot of ways. Like, you keep
getting caught again, is what you're saying?
Well, you get killed. It's pretty easy to die. You can take three hits and then you're dead. You start on the left hand side of a board. You try to make your way to the right hand side of the board. You can either push. Push an enemy, it's usually an armed guard, into something and smash them into stuff. And it's really, really satisfying pushing and smashing guards. Or you can grab them and use them for cover or throw them. And that's pretty much it. But it is super satisfying smashing people, slamming them into walls, throwing them off of buildings. Like, they splat into these pools of blood, and it's great.
You're not a monkey in the game. Aren't you a gorilla? Yeah.
I don't know. You're an ape, I guess. You're an ape.
You're an ape.
Well, it's technically different from a monkey.
Yeah, all right. Let's get into the simian. Yes, no, I guess it's an ape. Yes, the title of the game is Ape Out, right? So you're a big old ape. Yeah.
Big old orange ape.
Ape. King Kong was an ape, right? Not a gorilla.
He was a gorilla. I'm not sure that, you know what? I don't know the difference between an ape and a gorilla.
Is there a difference?
I'm not sure.
I'm not positive.
I think it might be based on having a tail. I'm making that up. No,
ape refers to just gorilla, I'm pretty sure.
So Donkey Kong is an ape.
I have no idea.
I think so, yes.
Hey. You know what, listeners? Before you point fingers and laugh at us, you tell us who Saul Bass is.
Yeah, exactly.
let's open with some obscure art references and then not know about animals.
The thing is that once you just look up a video of the game, and you'll immediately get what we're saying. when we're referring to Hitchcock and Saul Bass. It has that silhouette, those primary colors, no detail, just the silhouette. It looks impeccable.
Is it kind of like the style of those Donkey Kong Country Returns and Tropical Freeze, their silhouette stages, how they kind of went with like the black Donkey Kong with a red tie and very stark color? Like, I mean, you know what I'm talking about though, right?
Yeah, it's its own animal. I don't know. I mean, it's stark. There's like bold contrast, bold colors, really sharp perspective. The walls all kind of have this like little jittery effect as you move along. And what's really crazy, like the other hook of it is that so as you play, there's kind of like a drum solo happening all the time, like Buddy Rich or like the soundtrack to Birdman or whatever, to go deeply nerdy again. The soundtrack is reactive to the way that you're playing. So if you're going quickly, like the drum speeds up. If you slow down, it slows down. If you throw an enemy, like a cymbal crashes, and you really feel it as you're playing. So, and that all like really works with the style of the game, and like each of the boards has its own little, like, it's like there's four sets of boards and they're all little albums, and they've like really just styled it out to be like like the game itself just like it feels like jazz. Like it's this really amazing experience. I totally loved it. I mean, it's a little tricky. I sort of have like small complaints with it. The boards are slightly procedural. They're mostly procedural. Like it's kind of like in Dead Cells, where like they maintain a style and there'll be certain features. Like there'll be like, for instance, a corridor in the middle of a board, but all of the layout of everything you go through changes each time you play it. So like, you'll hit a choke point every time, but then you don't hit it again when you come back through. And like, it's fun because it adds to this improvisational jazz feel. You don't know what's coming around the corner. You really have to like go in and out of being like super aggressive with the enemies and sometimes sneaking around a little bit. And so it does, like, it feels like jazz, and I get it, but there are definitely moments when it like, it feels a little bit like it messes with the balance. You have to wait for like luck to get a good board layout to get through. But it's a pretty small complaint. And then the other thing that people should at least know about is that it's not a very long game, all things considered. I mean, I think I beat it in under 4 or 5 hours.
Which is perfect, really. I mean, I always think that that's a perfect – 5 hours is like a perfect length for a lot of games.
I'm totally with you, Patrick. I agree 100%, especially for something that's like putting something so new and so cool on the table. And, you know, the gameplay is simple. It's satisfying. I didn't need much more. You know, you can't, if you really want to, you can go back in as you play. It unlocks like a special EP at the end, and like you can do arcade mode and try to like beat your own score. So if you're really into it, you can. But it ends up being a game that like you want to like show friends. It's so cool looking, and it is so fun, like smashing the hell out of security guards.
So does a character in a game have a name? Like, does it have a personality, or you just play like an ape?
No, you just play like an ape. There's an aggressive lack of story. You can sort of like piece one together by like thinking hard about it. You break out of the cage and escape, and it's just like this aggressive push. And like, you know, I often don't finish games, and even if I didn't have this game for review, like it was a game that it was preying upon me. I was like, no, I just need to play that board one more time. I just need to try it one more time. And like, it gets your blood boiling. You're like, oh man, I got to get to the other side. Like every time you die, and you die a lot, like you're definitely going to die. It's designed for you to die. Every time you die, it like clicks out to this big screen that just says dead and shows you the path that you went in, and like you're like, I gotta try it one more time. Yeah, it's awesome. I loved it.
I was just trying to figure out if they can actually include this character in Super Smash. Can you imagine, like, with the music and the actual visuals?
The only problem there is similar to Mr. Shifty, is that the entire perspective we have of this character is top down.
And they have Game & Watch in Smash.
I was thinking of Game & Watch, yeah.
By the way, gorillas are a subgroup of the family of great apes. So because the character in the game is an ape, it doesn't necessarily mean he's a gorilla, because there are 14 types of apes, but he could very well be a gorilla.
He is shaped more like a gorilla because the other species within the great apes include chimps and orangutans. So
yeah, I loved it. It's highly recommended, really, for any gamers, I think. It's just a super satisfying game mechanic, really sharp style, unlike anything we've seen before. Well-designed, really fun. It's recommended, I think, to everybody, really. I can't imagine not enjoying it, but I'll be curious to hear what you think. I mean, I can imagine some people getting frustrated with the procedural generation of the boards, maybe. But I mean, outside of that, it's just super cool and super fun.
I think the only thing that I could think to improve this, because let's be honest, it is like playing through the credit sequence of The Incredibles, right?
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What might make it better, and this is just an idea, no offense to the developer, but you throw in like a yellow rat and Ryan Reynolds.
Just
you can't see me, but I'm shaking my head right now.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the joke that keeps giving.
It's a super small team who made it. Like this guy Gabe Cuzzillo made it. His name's all over it, as it should be, because it's like a work of art. I think he made it with just a few other people, and they should just be super commended because it's incredibly cool. And Devolver Digital published it, and it's just another awesome, weird game that they've made. They're totally on a roll. Like I've been enjoying so many of the things that they put out. So, cheers to all of those awesome people.
So for everyone, you heard it here first. Unless you have a deep fear of gorillas, in which case, maybe stay away. Marty, thanks for sharing. Yeah, I might have to pick this up as well. It looks gorgeous. It sounds gorgeous. Check out a video. And if that doesn't sell you, then you're dead inside. That does it for Ape Out for now. I'm sure if Rick picks it up, though, he'll have his own thoughts. Because, Rick, you are just a passionate guy. The show's not the same without you.
Detective Pikachu, guys. I'm telling you. It'd be mind-blowing.
Speaking of not the same without it, 2 years ago, my best friend came into the world. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. We're talking about the Nintendo Switch's birthday. Don't go anywhere.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been.
Welcome back to NXpress. We're at our closing segment, a discussion of the Nintendo Switch and how it's doing. It's crazy to think that 2 years ago, on March 4th, our breaths were taken away by Nintendo's latest hardware and one of the best launch titles of all time. We're not talking Breath of the Wild today, but it is fun to remember how old that game is now. But we are talking about the Switch, Nintendo's latest baby, and a fan favorite console on the show and kind of in the public's eye now as well. But we wanted to really look at the thing, assess its first 2 years of life, and talk about the state of the Nintendo Switch as critically as possible. So why don't we go ahead and open this up. You guys, how has the Switch performed and how are we liking it?
I mean, for my part, it's... Probably it's changed a little bit the way, or a lot, I guess, the way that I actually play. I know there are people who only play handheld and there are people who only play television. And for me, you know, I started out playing Breath of the Wild mostly as just handheld, and I liked just being able to play in my bed separate from my television. I didn't really need to see it on a big TV. But it's turned into kind of a mix. It's like one of the most convenient consoles that's ever existed. It probably is the most convenient console that's ever existed. I think it's going to be hard for me to go to just a normal console that's attached to a television now after playing this thing, honestly. And with the quality of the games that come out, people always will find something to complain about with Nintendo games. People are always using that overused phrase, dust my Wii off, dust my Switch off, blah, blah, blah. There are hundreds of amazing games on this console. I mean, I can't keep up with them. from indies to AAA stuff. So like ports, whatever. I mean, there's just too many things to play. I think the state of the console is very good.
Yeah, I actually think it was released with the greatest launch game of all time. Like, I know there's, like, I mean, we talk about Tetris with the Game Boy, you know, that pretty much helped sell the Game Boy, made it a huge success, and started the whole handheld business model of Nintendo. And we could talk about Super Mario 64, and there's a bunch of other great games that were launched for consoles. But Breath of the Wild came out in 2017, and there was a lot of tough competition that year. We're talking about games like Persona 5, Horizon Zero Dawn. When it was released, there was like three huge games released all within like a span of like 30 days. And yet that game, Breath of the Wild, still went on to win every single award. You know, I think it was listed on every single website as the game of the year. I put in 250 hours into that game. I still want to play that game. The only reason why I'm not playing it is because there's too many great games to play on the Switch. So I feel bad going back to play it, but I will return and play that game yet again. The Switch itself, like Patrick said, there is hundreds of great games. We are actually releasing our list of the best games on the Switch. So we're basically updating our list. So we released a list last year, year one. We're releasing a list this week. I think 50 best games on the Nintendo Switch for the first 2 years. We can easily make it a list of 100 games if we wanted to. I have all three major consoles. I have the Xbox One, I have the PS4, I have the Nintendo Switch. I also have like the 3DS and the old Xbox 360 and all these consoles. But I have the three major consoles on the market today, right? And I barely touched my Xbox One. I do play a lot of PS4 games, but I play mostly my Nintendo Switch. And the thing is, so the thing is I'll play PS4, like I'll play a game like Resident Evil 2. And I'll put in like 15 hours into that game, finish it. I'll play it a second time, finish it, just because I love that game so much. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I play these games that they're huge games. It could be like Far Cry. It could be Uncharted. But with my Switch, there are games like Breath of the Wild, which take up 250 hours of your life. There's games like Mario plus Rabbids. I put in like 60 plus hours. But I love the fact that there's all these games like Ape Out, which I'm going to play this week, that will only consist of about 4 to 6 hours of my time. Because right now, the market is oversaturated. I mean, look at this month. It is ridiculous. You get one studio releasing two games, Anthem and Apex Legends, two games which beg you to play and play and play and play and don't stop playing. And like, who has time to play all these games that require hundreds and hours of your time? And then you got like Far Cry New Dawn, you got Metro Exodus, and all these games released within a span of like 7 days. And ain't nobody got time for that. Like, nobody's got time for all these games. And that's what I like about my Switch. I like the fact that there are so many incredible indie games that I can play, and I can play on the go, because as someone who is busy all the time and time is so precious, being able to play these indie games when I'm sitting on a comfortable train riding to work every day in the morning and in the afternoon. Now, I only spend about 30 minutes on the train per day, but that's an hour a day times five. That's 5 hours. Guess what? I can finish an indie game in 5 hours on the train. That's beautiful. Like, I think without the Switch, I wouldn't be able to easily continue hosting this podcast week to week and writing game reviews and have any kind of life. It's so convenient.
There's something to be said about just the Switch's convenience and the accessibility that really sells it as a console. I think that core concept of a home console you can take on the go just spoke to the public, and those sales figures speak for themselves. I think it's reached over 30 million Switches sold, which is insane. But like, personally, I just look at my progress in games, and I think it's all because of the Switch. Like, I love Kingdom Hearts, and Kingdom Hearts 3 actually came out, despite how many jokes I made about it. And I am taking that game so slowly, whereas I actually beat Super Smash Bros. I'm back to playing Pokemon, and I'm playing more Pokemon than Kingdom Hearts. And it's because I can grab my Switch and take it anywhere I want to, whereas my PS4 is stuck back at home.
There's a lot of things that I like about the Switch that a lot of people don't talk about, like the interface. I remember when the Switch got released, a lot of people said that there wasn't necessarily anything wrong with the interface, but they weren't exactly happy with the layout because it was sort of like simple and boring, and I like it that way. I find it so easy to navigate through the interface. It's so easy to search for a game. It's so easy to see the upcoming new releases. It's so easy to see the games that are on sale. Even the layout, like when you get to your home screen and you see like the icons for like the last, what, 7 to 10 games you've played. And if you scroll to the far right, you can see your list of all your games. I like the way it'll show your friend icon or your avatar on the top left. And you can also, you can click on it and see all your friends and see who's online. There's things that I wish it had. Like, I wish there was more of a reason for me to actually have friends on the Switch, like ways for me to talk to people on the Switch, share games, I don't know, something. There's a lot of things that we can have a wish list of things we still want, like maybe voice chat. But overall, I think that this is my favorite console on the market. And I see, like, I love my library of PS4 games. And to be totally honest, if I take my PS4 games, my collection, I compare it to my Nintendo Switch games, PS4 runs away the winner. But in terms of the actual console, I think the Switch is the better machine, even if it's not as powerful.
I never thought that just being able to pick something up and go play it anywhere on the couch, in my bed, wherever, would have such an impact on how I play games, but it really has. And, you know, there'll always be traditionalists who, of course, just want to stick with their more powerful machines, and that's fine. Like, you game however you want to game. But all the little things that are supposedly wrong with the Switch, they're little nits. They don't mean anything. They could be fixed. Maybe they won't be fixed. Nintendo's never been perfect at designing the ultimate console, you know, with every single feature that everybody wants. That's just not what they do. They're too quirky for that. But what they've landed here upon is an outstanding premise for a console, and they pulled it off pretty, pretty damn well. Almost as better than I can expect from almost anybody else. So what it's resulted in, yeah, I mean, when I look back, I'm trying to think of this is probably, you know, after a couple of years and perspective, and even now I could probably say this, it might just be the best Nintendo console. And while that may sound like hyperbole or just prisoner of the moment hype, I don't think so. I think it has more features, more ability, more flexibility than anything else. And flexibility to me is now so prized.
I don't want to insult anyone, and I don't want to trample over your opinions or your perspectives, especially since everyone here is a Nintendo fan. But if I'm honestly looking at the Switch a couple years from now, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to say that this is the best library of games on the best hardware. And that sounds controversial. I mean, Rick already mentioned, like,
I don't think
64,
it is.
You have, like, I don't Mario think so. 64, but, like, already I'm like, what beats Breath of the Wild? What beats Mario Odyssey? What is going to beat, like, I don't want to, like, jump the gun, but Pokemon Sword and Shield already looks good, and we already have that great spinoff, Let's Go. We have one of the best designed Smash Bros. Games ever in Ultimate on the Switch. Honestly, this library is so strong already. And I think if I could define the word, like, if I could define the Switch in one single word, I would say probably momentum. The thing started off so strong. And the big question, do you remember when you were first talking about this? We kept saying, oh, if it can keep this pace, if Nintendo can keep this up. And now we're to 2019, 2 years later, and the lineup of games this year, I think, is the best yet. There's so much coming out in 1 year that I'm like, you guys are probably cannibalizing your own sales. How are you doing this?
It's weird, though, because, like, the thing is, it's hard for me to say it's the best year, because that year with Zelda and Mario Odyssey and Mario plus Rabbids, those three games are on my top five, not my top 10. But there was also the indie games released that year that I absolutely adore that are still among my favorite games on the Switch. I don't know if this is a better year, but, and I don't agree, and this is opinion, I don't agree that the library is better than the PS4. I think when it comes to exclusives, PS4 rules, and no one's been able to catch up in this generation. I think that by the end of the Switch's lifetime, depending on what we get, if we get Metroid and another Zelda, another Mario, then it can give the PS4 a run for its money. As of right now, though, I think what's carrying the Switch and what keeps it alive is the third-party games, mostly indie games. And that's great, and that's one thing that Nintendo could not really do very well with the Wii U, and it didn't do it very well with the GameCube. And so it's great that Nintendo's embraced third parties. It's great that Nintendo's once again embraced indies. It's great that now we no longer have to have two systems like the 3DS and the Wii U. We have one system that we can play at home and on the go. And I think it helps Nintendo too, because they're not splitting their resources and focus on two machines and two different strategies and two different release dates and different types of games for different types of machines. You know what I mean? That must be like a pain in the ass, having like when you can condense everything into one machine for your whole entire team, like everyone that works at Nintendo, be it the marketing team, the game developers, it's easier for them to do their work. So I think it's like, it was the right move. It's something that fans have been asking for years and years and years, a hybrid machine. We finally got it. I'm really excited for the future of Nintendo, because I think, like, you know, PlayStation tried their portable console, the Vita. They tried it multiple times. The Vita was like the best one they had, and it just did not sell well at all. I think PlayStation gave up on the handheld market. And I think that especially with the possibility of like being able to stream games and having a cloud service, you could still have a console like Nintendo, like the Nintendo Switch, and you can have a service in where you can just basically stream games and download games, and it could be as big as, like, you know, they're doing it in Japan, right, with Assassin's Creed and was it Resident Evil 7 that you can actually stream on your Nintendo Switch. I mean, that is the future of Nintendo. So you're still going to have this machine that you can play on the go, but when you get home, you're probably going to be able to like play these enormous games, and therefore it won't really matter how powerful the actual console is. Who the hell cares at this point? All you need is a console that you can hook up, and it'll be sort of like, you know, bringing Netflix anywhere. You bring Netflix on your phone, you bring Netflix on your laptop, you put Netflix on your TV at home, you can watch it anywhere. It's going to be the same thing. And I think that's what makes the future for Nintendo so exciting. The only thing I'm worried about as a collector is them not ever releasing physical copies of games. And I still think we're a long way from them stopping any kind of like physical distribution, but that is one thing that I will forever miss if they do it.
I don't think they will, because I mean, there's still that cartridge slot. If they come out with a Switch 2.0 and there is no cartridge slot, that's when things get scary. But I don't know that they'll ever do that. It just doesn't seem like a Nintendo choice to make.
So in terms of like, just from a business point of view though, right? Like, I don't think the Nintendo Switch is sort of like in the same boat as the Xbox One, where Microsoft actually loses money per console. I'm pretty sure they still profit from each console.
They do. It's profitable.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. And then they profit from the actual physical releases because they sell. I mean, maybe it costs more to produce, obviously, but they still make a profit. So to me, it seems like if you're going to stop manufacturing physical copies, you're actually going to be losing money. But I could be wrong.
And I think that what Nintendo has maybe over Sony and Microsoft in this category is the long-term collectors. There was just that story that the like Super Mario sold for six figures, right? Like, it's because it was like perfectly preserved, had a rare sticker for a seal and all sorts of stuff. And I think that kind of collection mentality continues better with Nintendo through the ages over something like Microsoft. I don't think there's going to be as much nostalgia for the original Xbox and the Duke controller as there will be for, I mean, like, people still play on GameCube controllers. There's a reason.
You'll never be able to sell, and I could be wrong, but I don't think you'll ever be able to sell a PlayStation 1 game or an Xbox game for $100,000. Like which game?
No, exactly. Like, I think Nintendo has that collector market a little bit better. So I think that's one of the reasons that they should stay in hardware and in firm actual releases rather than just digital.
Marty, how is your Switch holding up?
Oh, boy. I love my little Switch. I mean, you know, guys, I'll level with you. It's no Wii U.
You're right.
No, I mean, I...
Oh, the Wii was great, but...
It was great, of course. I love that little guy. No, I love the Switch so damn much. I hesitate to make overly bold declaration about the system while it's still in its current life cycle. My favorite system of all time is the Super Nintendo, followed by the odd duck out, the Dreamcast. But the Switch is, for me, on the fast track to being my favorite console of all time. I feel like you kind of like can't make that call while it's still in the races. But, you know, I mean, it's just subjectively, it's really just made so much for me. As a gamer before the Switch came out, I was playing mostly like indies on Steam, iPhone games, Nintendo exclusives. I have almost no interest in most AAAs that come out. I would play indies also sometimes on the PS4. Since the Switch has come out, I haven't played a single game on my PS4. All of the indies now come to the Switch. And even I was really into, I was into like iOS games, iPhone games, and all of those are there too. All of the best ones are there. You know, I mean, it's just, it has so much of what I want. And there's just so many games that I don't even have time to play. It's been such a great system for me. And I really related to what you said from the jump there, Patrick, that initially I was mostly playing handheld. And then like I more recently found myself playing on the TV screen, and I really play it like it's a hybrid. I do both, and I do both really naturally. I bring it to bed. I play it before bed. I play it on the train. I mean, like all of the promises in that commercial have come true. I've played it. I've played Mario Kart in a bar with friends. It's happened. You know, it's just wild.
There's three things I got to mention. One thing is the controller. First of all, I'm not the biggest fan of Joy-Con, but I do like the Joy-Con when it's needed for specific games like Mario Party. I love playing Mario Party, and it's so convenient and so easy and so light and so small, and just it's just great having that option. I like the Pro Controller. I think the Pro Controller kills the Pro Controller from the Wii U. It's better than playing with a gamepad. The Pro Controller, I mean, we can complain about the actual D-pad on the Pro Controller, but overall, it's a pretty amazing controller. Probably my favorite out of the three consoles. I can't stand the PlayStation controller at all anymore. And also, like, it has the best library of games to play with your friends and family. And a few weeks ago, I went to my brother's house, and we actually had like three Switch consoles, and we were playing everything from like Mario Kart to Super Smash Brothers to what am I forgetting here? Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers, and Mario Party. And we had three TVs, three consoles hooked up, and each of us had like four controllers. It was like amazing. Like we had like, I think a total of like 12 controllers. I mean, mind you, that also includes like the Joy-Cons, but, and then like, you know, they released Super Smash Brothers. Like Tim says, it is the ultimate, in my opinion, the ultimate version of that game. It's like the best.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Sorry. but like the thing is like, it has everything. It has, everyone has, more characters are on the way. It has all the stages. It has everything you can possibly want. And they even released the GameCube controller for the game, specifically to play Super Smash Brothers, right? Which the GameCube controller is, I think, the way to go if you want to play that game. It's the best controller, period.
I like GameCube, man. I like GameCube, but you're underselling the Pro Controller. I have three Pro Controllers now. So I was like, this is the way to Smash. I'm kind of over the GameCube. I'm kind of over it.
I got three Pro Controllers, and the GameCube controller is the way to go.
I played on GameCube for a long time. I'm leaning towards Pro.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just so much to love about the Switch. I think the thing is, like, Marty, like you, and I think like Patrick, Super Nintendo, my favorite console of all time. But the thing is, like, when I say my favorite console of all time, like, there's two ways to look at it. There's the actual piece of hardware, which, you know, comes with the control and the actual system and how powerful it is and, like, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the library of games that goes with the console. But the thing is, if those Super Nintendo games are released on the Nintendo Switch, of which, you know, let's face it, they're going to do it, and you have a Nintendo library, and maybe they give you the GameCube library, plus the library we currently have, and who knows what else they add. I agree with Tim. It might have the best library of any console on the market, hands down.
Can I just like hop in really quick and just make this list really quick? This is just 2019, you guys, and this is just Nintendo's first party titles, okay? We're talking Yoshi, Super Mario Maker 2. We also have Luigi's Mansion, the first home console Pokemon main series game in Sword and Shield, and Animal Crossing, 1 year. And that's like not including anything else they decide to surprise drop and smaller titles like Box Boy.
We're going to get a Zelda game.
Oh, yeah. And Link's Awakening. Zelda game of all time.
Yeah, and what's amazing is that, I mean, I think that this is really, we're seeing the fruition of them only having to work on the single platform. I mean, you know, this is the first year where we're really seeing it sink in. Like, the 3DS is almost done and gone, and now we're really getting to see their resources all piling into one place. And so we're really feeling it. Like, that list is so staggering. It's so exciting. It's crazy. I can't believe we're getting Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing and Link's Awakening. I mean,
does that not seem like Nintendo is literally picking on me? Does that not sound like the most Tim Mason lineup of all time? If they said Pokemon Snap 2, then I would legitimately go to headquarters and be like, what the hell, guys?
I'm telling you guys, E3 is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. I've heard from multiple sources, from people that work at video game industries, that work in the video game industry, Nintendo's got a lot of surprises up their sleeve. It's going to be huge. I am predicting they will announce the next Zelda game. It's going to happen. It's going to be something huge, and that's only going to be one announcement. Guys, you're right. Incredible lineup, but there's so much more that we're going to get after June. And you know how Nintendo is. They're going to announce something, and it's going to be out before Christmas. At least one major title.
Yep.
It won't be Metroid Prime 4. We all know it got delayed, but it's going to be something huge. Is it going to be Zelda? Is it going to be Odyssey 2?
I think if I had to honestly guess, I'm guessing it's going to be a game that's going to also sell like crazy hotcakes, but less thrilling than what we might expect. We got our top-down Zelda. I think we're going to get our side-scrolling Mario now. I think it's a new Mario game.
We could, but I also... think I'm not saying we're gonna get a Zelda game released this year, but Breath of the Wild came out 2 years ago, right? And that game was initially supposed to be released for the Wii U the year before, and they started working on the game like what, 10 years ago? Good chance we're gonna get a Zelda game next year.
Next year, sure. Not this
year. And
it
could be announced at E3. You release a side scrolling Mario and you announce Zelda, heads are gonna explode.
Yeah, undoubtedly, it's going to be a super exciting year for the Switch. There is almost nothing they could do to ruin the momentum right now, which seems crazy following the Wii U, that the Switch is still selling so strong and has doubled the sales of their last console. But congratulations to Nintendo. We all love the Switch. Happy birthday. And honestly, just thank you for such a fun piece of hardware. It is honestly a dream come true. And I can't wait to finally get to play a main series Pokemon on my TV and on the go. Anyway,
last thing I'm going to say. I said before the Switch came out, or when the Switch came out, that it has a very good chance of surpassing the sales of the Wii. And I think we're really going to be able to see how well the Switch can sell when the Pokemon game gets released. I think, like, at the end of this year, if, like, the Switch has sold 60-plus million units, it's going to beat the life... Like, it's at 35-plus right now.
Last holiday, so just back at the end of 2018, with the help of some previous titles like Mario, Zelda, and the newly launched Super Smash Bros., they pushed out, I think, 10 million units. And those are some good sellers. But we're talking two of the biggest franchises at the end of the year, and just in terms of like units sold in Pokemon and in Animal Crossing, those push hardware and like more than people give them credit for. Like, we think, oh, Zelda's such a big hit. That pushes like maximum 5 million units. Like, it's popular, but not on the same level. Not on the same level.
It also pushes hardware in the area that I think they really need to push more hardware in, which is family kind of stuff. I mean, when you think about it, they're going to capitalize on that market with Pokemon and Animal Crossing. What more perfect gift are you going to get in the holiday season than a Nintendo Switch for your kid? I mean, that's a big market that I don't think the other consoles don't appeal to quite as much, you know, to parents. Obviously, kids want a PS4 or an Xbox One, but I don't think it appeals to parents as much. Well, being able to sell your, you know, parents the Switch with Animal Crossing or Pokemon is going to be huge.
I think so. I mean, I know it's sold more than 35 million because I read a report that it outsold the GameCube, and the GameCube sold 35 million.
Yeah, I think last time I checked, it was around 34. So
right. So let's just say, even if it sells 10 million by the end of the year, before Christmas, and it sells another 10 million during the holiday season, you're already at like 50 something mil. And I think that a Pokemon game could do it. I think a Pokemon game could like really turn things around for the Switch.
And by turn things around, you mean just continue?
What if they release Wii Fit, the sequel?
Not Wii
Fit. Like, sorry, Wii Sports. Yeah.
Yeah, no, honestly, Wii Fit's not a bad idea either, though.
I would love a new Wii Sports. I love those games. I like both of them a lot.
And the Joy-Cons are more than capable, so it's possible.
Man, yeah. You imagine a commercial sometime in November. It's the new Wii Sports.
You guys.
The new Mario, Pokemon, mm-hmm. Animal Crossing.
They retired Reggie so that it'll be all the more exciting when the first trailer of E3 is Reggie showing up saying, "My body is ready again," and it's Wii Sports.
That won't happen, though. He
no, it will. Retired. But then maybe they can just bring him back just to say it. Anyway, that does it for our discussion of the Switch. I couldn't be happier with the console, and I think that the future of Nintendo and the future of this podcast as a consequence are both very bright. Do you guys remember when we were all supporting the Wii U and it was sad and lonely and we were like the only fans out there?
Yeah, it feels like we've earned it, though, you know? Like, we're in the desert, and we awaited and waited, and now they've delivered. That's the Nintendo way. We knew they would deliver.
We had to be a lot more creative back in those days. Now it's pretty easy. Like, there's new games to talk about every week. Back then, we had to really think about topics.
I think we're still creative. I think we have a very interesting Nintendo show.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. But I think we were forced to be creative back then. There was no option.
Yeah, I'm a frequent guest, and I always listen as well. I only don't listen to the ones that I'm on.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear myself talk.
You don't like hearing yourself talk?
It kind of weirds me out.
Yep, so in continuing with our creative discussions and topics, next week we're doing French New Wave film criticism, so look forward to that. Anyway, that does it for our show. Marty, thank you for being here and talking Ape Out with us. Where can we find you online?
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's always such a pleasure. My name is Marty, and you put the word stuff after it, martystuff.com and at martystuff and all the places, and gleefully writing for Goomba Stomp whenever I can.
And if we wanted to find you in written print.
Yes, thank you for the plug. I should be plugging myself. I had a book come out pretty recently called Retro Games. You can get it on Amazon or other fine retailers. I announced that book, I think, on this very podcast. So, yeah, buy my book, please. That would be nice.
I haven't read it yet, I'll be honest, but I have it. I'm excited.
It's hard-hitting.
Patrick, where can we find you online?
You can always, of course, find me writing at Goomba Stomp and on Twitter at Sorted Cinema, where I dare any one of you to explain to me the plot of Gone with the Wind if you've seen it. I know none of you have.
I've seen it.
Not you, Marty. I'm talking directly to the listeners now.
The audience.
But if you haven't seen some of these classic movies, you can at least check out little snippets of them in a column I did about the greatest character introductions of all time. So I highly recommend you check that out on Sorted Cinema.
And those are some characters that you probably actually will recognize.
Some of them. And one of them is from Gone with the Wind, as a matter of fact. Scarlett O'Hara has a fantastic entrance. But yes, there are a couple of newer movies in there. Maybe some of you have heard of Indiana Jones. I don't know.
I was about to say Indiana Jones was the one that I attached to the most. And of course, you can also look out for his glowing review of Detective Pikachu in May. Ricky, where can we find you?
You can find me writing a lot on goombastomp.com. I'm actually going to be spending a week just concentrating on writing. I'm not really on social media anymore, but you can always like us on Facebook, meaning Goombastomp, and follow us on Twitter. And I guess that's about it.
And I am Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. Check out my work on Goombastomp and my other podcast, Game Boys. I've just got a lot of Pokemon stuff going on right now, you guys, but I'm okay with that. Go read it if it interests you. If not, pretend like you did so that I feel good about myself. Maybe just click on it so it looks like my articles are popular. That's cool, too. But most importantly, go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Drop this show a rating and a review. If you're on an iPhone right now, literally just go back, look at our show, scroll down a little bit, touch that 5-star. It takes you 2 seconds, and it opens a crazy amount of doors. It allows lots of publishers to see us. Games are expensive. Help us get a couple more codes so that we have more to talk about on the show. It would be much appreciated. Anyway, that does it. We'll talk to you more next week with all things Nintendo.
Welcome to Rhyme City, a celebration of the harmony between humans and Pokemon.
Tim, your dad was a legend in this precinct. If you were anything like your dad...
I'm not.
I remember. You wanted to be a Pokemon trainer when you were young.
Yeah, that didn't really work out. Someone there? Whoever you are, I know how to use this.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
I know you can't understand me, but put down the stapler or I will electrocute you.
Did you just talk?
Whoa. Did you just understand me?
Oh my God! You can understand me! Stop! I've been so lonely!
They try to talk to me all the time. All they hear is Pika Pika.
You can hear him, right?
Pika Pika!
Yeah, Pika Pika Pika. He's adorable.
You're adorable. They can't understand me, kid.
Can no one else hear him? I don't need a Pokemon, period.
Then what about a world-class detective? Because if you want to find your pops, I'm your best bet.
We're gonna do this.